Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and paying the price for our sin. Lord, bring us closer to you, oh Jesus. Open up our hearts, Father, even more than they already are, that we can have a desire to grow even closer to you. And we ask this all in your wonderful, precious name. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me this morning and touch our hearts. And we ask this in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. This past year, both Pastor Kobe and I preached about the fullness of time. Here on our bulletin, we see where it says, Christ came at just the right time. And in the back here of our news page, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law at the fullness of time. And both Pastor Kobe and I mentioned to you that at that particular time in history, there was one world government. It was the Roman government. There was world peace among the known world. There was one common language, Greek, so that the gospel could be spread around the known world. There's peace. They didn't have to worry about fighting around the known world. And Israel was in the center of world trade, so that traders coming through Israel could actually pass the gospel message on to people all over the known world, Africa, Europe. But there was something else also about the fullness of time that had to do with the Old Testament. You see, God had set up a pattern for the Jews in the first few books of the Bible, in the book of Exodus. And the pattern was that there was to be a priesthood, the Levites, Levitical priests, and there was to be sacrifices for sin, and the priests were to take lambs and sacrifice them for sin. Only the priests could do it. And if a person brought a lamb to be sacrificed for their own individual sins, they would bring it to the priest. It was God's pattern. It was a pattern he had set up, and a pattern that was fulfilled with Jesus. There was also at first, tabernacle, and then a temple where these sacrifices were to be made. Well, 40 years after Christ died, there was no more priesthood as such. There was no more Sanhedrin. There was no more temple, and there is still not a temple. Because our bodies are the temple. Our bodies replaced it. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of we who believe. And there was no Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was made up of 70 Jewish priests that were in charge of making sure everything was done properly. And there was no Sanhedrin until just 2 years ago, when the Sanhedrin reunited. There was no high priest among the Sanhedrin until just a year and a half ago. It's pretty interesting. There didn't need to be, and there still doesn't need to be. But things are coming together for Jesus' second coming. There was a temple. There were Levitical priests. There were sacrifices, and the priests made them. At Passover, the high priest would even select the very lamb that would be sacrificed for the sins of the nation. And twice a day, the priests would select a lamb, the morning offering and evening offering, that would be sacrificed. Well, along comes John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a Levitical priest. Only the Levites could be priests. Levites were from the tribe of Levi. They were the sons of Levi and Aaron. And they were the only ones who could be priests, and that's all they could be. They were in the priesthood. John the Baptist's dad was Zechariah. Zacharias was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. His wife was Elizabeth, related to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Elizabeth was a Levite because the Levitical priests, they could only marry Levite women from the tribe of Levi. That's the only choice they had. God wanted the tribe, to be Levites. That was their calling. We all have a calling. My calling's to be a pastor here. Others of you have other callings. They're all ordained of God. No matter what our calling is, He puts desires in our hearts and we fulfill it. Debbie has a calling to direct the choir. The choir has a calling to sing in the choir. But they may have other callings too. We all may have other callings. Whatever job we have is our calling. Unless you don't like that job and you want another one, well, maybe God's calling you to another one. He does that too. But the Levitical priests had a calling. They were chosen of God to be priests. And John the Baptist came from the tribe of Levi, from his father and mother who were Levites, from his dad who was a priest in the temple area. And John the Baptist went out into the wilderness, and his calling was to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And as a Levitical priest, when he saw Jesus coming to him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist just certified Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away the world's sin. The priesthood said, "This is the one." Then Jesus began his ministry. And 3.5 years later, the priesthood who were called to select the lamb for sacrifice said, "We got to get rid of Jesus. We got to sacrifice him." Now, they did not fully understand what they were doing. But nonetheless, they were called to select the sacrifice. John the Baptist said, "This is the one." And a few years later, the priesthood said, "We got to get rid of him. We have to sacrifice him instead of the people." They actually said that. They said, "If we don't sacrifice him, Rome will come in and take away our religion and we're going to lose everything." Even Caiaphas the high priest said, "It is necessary that one man dies for the nation and that the nation doesn't die." It chose him to be sacrificed. And so it was the priests that turned Jesus over to Pilate to be crucified. They had fulfilled their calling to choose the lamb to be sacrificed. And yet they didn't even know what they were doing. So Jesus hangs on the cross and he dies. But before he died, he said this, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Do you know that at that moment, all of those priests and all of those soldiers, all of them, were forgiven because Jesus spoke those words? I wonder how many of them felt that forgiveness. Now, I have shared during our Lenten services, God does not give partial forgiveness. When he forgives, and everything that comes before is forgiven. At that moment, Caiaphas was forgiven of all of his sins. If he's forgiven of one, he's forgiven of them all. All of those chief priests, all of those rabbis were forgiven of their sins. All of the soldiers were forgiven when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was done. And do you know there were some of them there that actually felt it? They might have all felt it, but they had to receive it. Because if they go on from that point and still hate him, well, then they're sinning, they're doing new sins from that point. But one of the soldiers there recognized truly this man was the Son of God. He felt that forgiveness. And there were others that felt it, because in the books of Acts, it said, "See how many myriads believe, and they are all zealous or religious Jews, zealous for the law." And in Greek, myriad means 10,000. See how many tens of thousands have believed, and they're all zealous, they're all religious Jews. That was a pretty powerful statement Jesus made on the cross. And all the people had to do was accept it. That's all we have to do, is accept it. He is the final sacrifice for all sins, and in order for us to receive that forgiveness, we have to accept it, receive it, and we do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead. That does it. And then Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love him, keep his commandments. Now, we're all pretty good people here. We don't steal. Most of us don't cuss. Might slip out once in a while. We don't kill. Might hate somebody now and then, but we don't hang on to it. Might covet, but we let that go too. Probably our worst one is bearing false witness. So nice to talk about other people. And only half of it's true, because the other half kind of got twisted up along the way. But outside of that, all we got to do is accept Jesus and then try to keep his commandments. He loves us. He loves me. He loves you. Loves you just as much as he loves me, and he loves us just as much as he loved Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, John the Baptist. God loves us as much as he loved Jesus, because actually he let Jesus die to save us. And all we have to do is accept that. You see, Jesus carried our sins on the cross. I've shared this word, asham, with us at our Lenten services, which is the guilt offering. That's the Hebrew word for the guilt offering. It's also the Hebrew word for the guilt or the sin or the transgression. And the Bible says he became our guilt, our transgression, and he carried it away to the Gezer, to the wilderness where no man lives, where no man goes, and where it disappears. That's what Jesus did for us. And all we have to do is believe in him. And if we believe in him, we will try to keep his commandments.